listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome. Here on Full Power Living, we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power, importance, and mastery of human emotions. A lot of people as children feel like they don't belong to their particular family. But what if you felt as if in many ways you don't belong in this world, even though you have extraordinary abilities and great sensitivity and much love in your heart? This is the current experience of many people now in this world, some of whom are recognized as indigo. I'm talking today about spiritual healing for indigo adults and other feminine souls with Yoel Swan. Please post your comments and questions on our blogs, and remember that you can sign up for Full Power Living's broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Well, Dr. Yoel Swan is a spiritual counselor and coach. She has degrees in English literature, music, and homeopathy. She was born in Mexico to intellectual parents and surrounded by a blend of shamanic cultures, and has become a modern seer who perceives life as energy and is highly sensitive to other dimensions. She actually began channeling spiritual messages in her teens and later worked in psychoanalysis and got herself launched into a deep exploration of divine consciousness during a 3-year retreat in almost complete isolation. There's so much more, which we'll be talking about through the show. She's the author of the Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And you can find out more about her and her work at soulguidedcoach.com or yoelswan.com, which is YOLSWAN.com. So, Yoel Swan, I'm privileged and very grateful to welcome you to Full Power Living.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Just last night, I spoke to one of my young granddaughters. She's 10, and she and I are very close, and by my observation, she is an indigo child, and she has struggled with fitting in with her age mates and the rules of teachers and school. And last night, we talked about her being a round peg trying to fit into a square hole, and I said to her as part of our conversation that I wanted her always to remember that there is nothing wrong with her, even if she doesn't fit well in her environment, that she has some special work to do, and that means she has to be different. And later I got a text from her parents telling me she was incredibly happy and smiling as she went to bed. And I was inspired. Not that I haven't told her that before, but not with such force. And helping people to understand themselves and know themselves in a way similar to what I was doing with my granddaughter, that's a big reason that you wrote your book, The Indigo Journals. Is that so?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's very important to embrace our divine differences beyond just the you know, the perception of personality or gender or anything like that, because we are infinite souls wired with specific functions, specific purpose. And so in this world, which is like a kind of, it has become so militarized, so standardized, we feel like we have to fit in and we have to be like others and we have to be doing what others are doing, but that is not necessarily true. We have to beat to our own drum.
Yes, which is not hard which is very hard. I mean, when you're in a standardized and militarized, I happen to grow up in a military family, you know, when there's a right way and a wrong way, it's hard to be your own way, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And even beyond that, the family environment, you know, the world itself has become so compartmentalizing. You know, it's like you have to get on one track and follow that track, and you cannot explore the things, and you have to be very logical and rational and, you know, believe what science says, and, you know, and it kind of limits the full spectrum of what life really is, and also the full spectrum of what we bring into this world as souls, because there's so much more. We're so multifaceted and multi-layered, even multi-dimensional. So we want to explore all of it. We don't want to be limited and constricted by those very masculine ways of perceiving things. Yeah, it only hurts us. It doesn't really, you know, expand or help us evolve and grow stronger and more empowered. It really constricts us.
Well, as a psychotherapist for the last 44 years, I would say there could be one advantage to that, which is that it will pressure us to the extent where we won't be able to stand it anymore, and then we break out. So that would be one. Well, in your book, you're not just discussing the challenges of being indigo. You're also talking about other feminine souls. And I want you to explain to us, because a feminine soul can be in a male body, I believe. Exactly who are you addressing here with your writing?
Well, I'm referring to the souls that have emerged from the divine feminine, because consciousness in its pure state is neutral. It's the perfect balance of feminine and masculine. But to create the universe, it has to split. You know, otherwise it would be moving this perfect, expansive stillness. So to create forms and shapes, it has to split in between the feminine principle and the masculine principle. And it's that interplay that keeps creation moving, you know, being sustained, dissolving, and, you know, like the whole universe expanding. So it's between these two principles I'm talking about these two principles in the book, and I explore that in more detail. But the feminine souls come from the feminine principle, from the feminine aspect, or the divine feminine of consciousness. And so we are wired towards being more receptive, more sensitive, more empathic. We're driven by love and connection, you know, all those feminine qualities. While masculine souls emerge from the masculine principle and are more action-oriented, more, more logical, mental. And both principles need to be integrated, and we all carry both principles within the layers of our soul. But in this world, they become so polarized that it's hard for us to really feel integrated and have those two align. So for feminine souls who are more receptive, more sensitive and intuitive, empathic, and creative as well, it's the world the way it is now, it's a very painful place to be in, because it's always pulling towards the action-oriented and has become so extremely masculine that it is what I was talking about, so compartmentalized and logical and kind of more war-oriented, more separation-oriented, just, you know, more materialistic as well, more attached to the physical senses. And so we feel this talk of war within ourselves. We feel things very strongly, but we also feel very powerless because, you know, it's not in our deep wiring to follow the impulse or the drives that we see out there in the world. We have to make an effort. We have to develop some of those masculine qualities to feel a little bit more empowered and centered and stronger in ourselves. So to sum it up, the feminine soul is the type of soul that is feeling right now a lot of anxiety, a lot of disconnection, a lot of powerlessness, feeling things really intensely and feeling disconnected from what's going on in the world. At the same time, we're kind of turning things around, and I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but, you know, going more towards the feminine. But in the meantime, we're feeling like really like we're being, separated into going split into different directions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, these are really incredible times. Actually, I think we'll get into a little bit of that with my next question, which is something you address in your book, that indigo and feminine souls, of course, have been present on the earth through all times, but there are a lot more indigos here, in my understanding, right now. And what is your, can you explain to us the reason that we have more indigos here at this time?
I was saying earlier that the world has become excessively masculine. And the reason why is because we are in a masculine cosmic cycle. So we have reached the extreme of that cycle, and we are turning around, moving towards a feminine cycle. And these are cycles that last, you know, about 10,000 years or so. So they're big.
Yes.
So we are turning around, and so we need to bring in more of the feminine to make that happen, and also become more aware and embrace more of our own feminine qualities. The feminine when we disconnected from the feminine before transitioning into this cycle, it just sunk. It became our subconscious. So everything that's feminine is coming back to the surface now to help us transition into this new cosmic cycle. So, of course, we need more feminine souls. And indigos are feminine souls with certain masculine qualities. Why do we need indigos right now? We've been here planting seeds of transformation all along, but we need more of that because of the masculine qualities of indigos allow us to turn things around, to have a purpose. The masculine qualities to be very goal-oriented. So we're bringing forth all the feminine qualities while still being in the world, taking action and doing things, accomplishing things to make that happen. And we're also bringing in, being the parents and so on, teachers, grandparents, of other feminine souls that are not necessarily indigos, but that they're closer to the indigo archetype, but they're more feminine in nature, even more so because we need a lot of feminine right now. And those are, you know, children that are labeled crystals and rainbows and star seeds, and you know, I don't know, they're coming up with more and more names. So it's it's that feminine quality that needs to be brought forth and really embraced and nurtured for for things to change. Otherwise, one more step and you know, life on earth would be destroyed.
You know, a couple of years ago, I interviewed a man named Joel Court, and he's a therapist for gay men. And one of the eye-opening things I realized then that I hadn't really thought of is that being a gay man can be more difficult because that person, as a little boy, grew up in the culture that disparaged gayness, and that disparagement went right into that person as well as happening in the culture. And that was the sense I had about indigo and feminine souls in the world, the masculine permeated, I guess, world, was that a hard thing is that we do have inside of us the same prejudice against ourselves that our masculine-dominated, permeated world has, and yet we came to bring the feminine energy. That's an extra added difficulty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a challenge. But because we are deeply wired to it, you know, we're deeply attuned to it, it's a matter of letting go of the stuff, of course, the conditioning and the distorted self-perception that has been prevalent for thousands of years, you know, when it comes to the feminine. And then, so it's a matter of letting go of all that. At the same time that it's a challenge, because of the transition, the changes, we are at a juncture of shifts and cosmic cycles, there is a lot of support, you know, invisible support in the sense that the planet itself is turning around. So we have that extra help there. You know, there's more feminine qualities, more feminine energies coming in, whether, you know, people here like it or not, or those in power like it or not, yes. It's happening, and it's a subtle, quiet revolution of the spirit that nobody can stop, just like we couldn't stop going into this masculine cosmic cycle. So there is a lot of support. The healing process becomes shorter. You know, we don't have to be 30 years in psychotherapy like we used to.
Yes.
You know,
what's that going to happen to my bottom line, huh? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, things are going to shift quicker, move around. And so, because we need to bring in that transformation through our own transformation, it's not going to happen. There are no aliens coming to take care of us and rescue and save us. It has to come from within. That's the feminine, that part that we need to restore on the planet is all within ourselves. These are the deeper layers of the soul that we need to bring forth. And with that, of course, comes our spiritual senses, our perception of you know, how powerful, divinely powerful we are, our creativity, our love, our ability to connect, to communicate, to bring sustainable solutions. You know, it comes from that creative, nonlinear perception of things. So we're here to really bring forth our inner vision, which is a feminine vision. And that's how we're going to balance this mess.
That's an interesting end of that statement. That's an interesting thing, because as indigos and these feminine souls have come into the world, they've encountered the masculine energy that permeates here, and they've, in a sense, in strong measure, shut themselves down in some ways, like not speaking up or not following what's right for them, or as was still occurring with my little 10-year-old granddaughter yesterday, of deciding or feeling that there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, that's the tragedy of all feminine souls, and especially indigos, probably because indigos are more self-aware, because we have masculine qualities there, that bright, sharp mind that says, hey, what's going on here? But it is part of the process of transformation. You know, it took me a very long time to recognize that I was an indigo myself, so I know what it is like to navigate your life as best as you can without really feeling that you fit anywhere, and just keep looking and looking and looking for a purpose, because that's one very strong drive in indigos. You know, it's that sense of being here for a reason, having a purpose, a mission, having a goal. And so through that process, I understood that we're not here to fit in, first of all, because we're here to bring transformation. And it's through that process of questioning and seeking and you know, trying to figure things out and navigate and looking within, that we tap into the inner resources that we need to really, you know, create the life that we want and embrace all of who we are. But yeah, at first, we all feel like there's something wrong. We're flawed. We should be someone other than who we are, because we can't find our place anywhere. Even sometimes within, you know, friends and peers, and, you know, like I had a spiritual family and I had a family of my own, you know, I still felt out of place. And so that keeps us seeking, keeps us moving forward without just, you know, accepting any less than what we're here to really embrace and accomplish. That's the driving force that keeps us moving and trying to understand who we are, why we do the things that we do, why our perception is different, and what it all means. So so we can put our life puzzle together and understand who we are, what our life is about, and what we're here to do and how.
Yes. And that all involves turning into and understanding ourselves. I'll tell you a quick story before we get to the break. Years I felt out of place forever, and I had a chicken coop in my yard as an adult, and I let the chickens roam around during the daytime. But one morning I got up kind of late, and it was really hot, and I knew the chickens didn't have food or water, and I noticed that a hen had not been closed up into the pen with the others, and she was outside the fence line pacing and pacing, trying to get in where the other chickens and the rooster were. And I called out to her, and I said, "Hey, silly, turn around. Everything you need is behind you. They have nothing in there." And all of a sudden, I realized I was talking to myself. that was the day it became okay to be different. So we'll talk more about being different with the author of The Indigo Journal, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls, Yoel Swan. And we'll be right back here on Full Power Living.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Please go to emotionalpro.com to get your free copy of my list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions, which can immediately help you to start moving toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. And while you're there, sign up to be on our mailing list so we can send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, my guest is Ronelle Wood, who will share with us how to touch and work with them in our own bodies, our fascia. This is an area where trauma and stuck emotions can reside. It's an unusual topic, but one that can be very helpful to know about. So be here at 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern, next Thursday. Thank you, too, for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. Emotions, as we all know, are part of everything, so it allows us to explore many frontiers of change and transformation that we're now experiencing. And when you listen to our show and share ideas you hear on it with others, you help us with this mission. So share with everyone. I'm talking today with mentor, author, and coach Yoel Swan regarding her work to support indigo and feminine souls. Her book is The Indigo Journals. We had Janine Talty on this show about 3 years ago, Yoel, and I noticed that her comments are featured on the cover of your book. And something I learned from her is that indigo children often encounter hardship and struggle early in life, and her idea was that that hardship helps to strengthen them for the work they've come to do as adults. And so I want to know, do you agree with this? And What kinds of challenging issues then may have faced you in your childhood that strengthened you for now?
Well, I agree with that statement to a certain degree, because I think that I perceive it a little differently. I don't think that we're here to, you know, we face challenges to become strong. We are very strong. That's part of the quality, the mastering qualities of indigos. But those challenges make us recognize that our strength. And, you know, it's what I was talking about earlier. Uh-huh. It really makes us look within and tap into those inner resources that we already come with. And, you know, as far as my own journey is concerned, well, I had a very authoritarian father, and it was like we butted heads time and again. You know, he was like a Basque warrior, and I shared my story in the book as well. And so it was like if I didn't stand up for myself and really embraced that inner strength that I knew I had, like that inner power, he would have crushed me. You know, like my siblings, my older siblings, well, one was the junkie, the other one was always very sick. My sister was very manipulative. She couldn't figure out how to really stand up and discover her strength. She just had to turn quite wicked, I would say. And so my father was like that. Like, he was like this really intense, angry person, very big presence, right? Even though my parents were divorced, he was still a very intense presence. And so I had to embrace my own strength to face that power, and, you know, made the decision that I was not going to let him crush me. And later on in life, through, you know, challenges that I faced, I also made that decision that I could be very sensitive, you know, because I was very, extremely sensitive, emotionally sensitive all the time. That's one of the tragedies, I guess, of feminine souls. We are so empathic that we're continuously feeling everything very intensely, but at the same time, determined not to let life crush me in any way or anyone. So I still feel things very deeply, but I'm very strong. I just let that energy go through me, and I keep moving on. I don't let it stop me. I don't let it, you know, deviate me from my purposes. I don't let it stall my process in any way.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. I, too, had an authoritarian military father.
Oh, yeah, that's probably even more.
Yeah. Who used to tell me that I was overly sensitive. And it took me a little while, but I finally figured out that there is no such thing as overly sensitive. All that my father was telling me was that I was more sensitive than he wanted me to be, but I myself am just right sensitive for me.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as we're talking about features of feminine and indigo souls, you say that all feminine souls are light bearers and that we're wired to receive and nurture creative and healing energy. And then you list these characteristics like highly sensitive, deeply connected to animals and nature, drawn to metaphysical or spiritual subjects. You have an entire chapter. And one of them that I found interesting is bound to the truth. I cannot tell you how many times I got into trouble as a young child for speaking the truth. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, that's more of a masculine quality, and
uh-huh.
It is in this world of appearances and manipulation, you know, and deceit, it's very painful for those of us who are so bound to the truth, which also makes us sensitive. You know, these are all qualities that connect us to consciousness, to that feminine aspect of consciousness. But in indigos, it shows up as not being very diplomatic. I would say that we can be blunt. It is one of those funny things about indigos, because we're very sensitive and we don't really want to hurt anyone. But when it comes to the truth, it's like something just gets triggered and we're like, we're going to tell it like it is. And it gets us into trouble because the world is not ready for the truth. You know, now it's getting maybe a little more ready, but before, it was certainly not ready. It was all about appearances and about maintaining the group unity and, you know, kind of the sense of belonging. Well, if you want to belong, then you have to behave a certain way and you have to follow certain rules and you have to fulfill certain expectations. And because we're bound to the truth, we are more free-spirited. It's just, you know, well, no, because if this doesn't make sense, why do I have to follow this? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't see it. It's actually, it goes against who I am, how I see things and my inner vision. Or I can see through you, I can see through people and tell that they're lying, they're trying to manipulate me or they're trying to manipulate others. And why do I have to follow that? I don't want that. It goes against me. It creates this short circuit within me that is very uncomfortable, and I need to express that.
Yes, yeah. Well, I have the opinion, I've developed the opinion that we more and more will need to be telling the truth, because the kinds of changes we're experiencing, people are being more sensitive as we go into this wave of feminine energy. And everybody will know when you're not telling the truth. So you might as well tell the truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about wounding and how important it is for us to heal the wounds in order for indigos and feminine souls I'm speaking of, in order that we can get on with our purpose, part of which is to be the person that we came here to be. And part of that, you offer a list of possible scenarios that feminine and indigo children can experience that lead to feeling emotionally homeless. And I just want to share with you that I was astounded that all 8 of the scenarios you list, like family moving constantly, living in a boarding school, or being mentally, emotionally, physically, and sexually abused, I experienced all 8 of those as a child. And that kind of wounding that goes there can really stop you in your tracks, and we need to heal ourselves as feminine and indigo souls in order to get on with the purpose that we came for. Is that correct?
Yes, because the reason why indigos are born in those types of environments is because every time we reincarnate, we need to reactivate the wounds that we did not resolve in past lifetimes. So we kind of bring with us what I call vibrational seeds, you know, because they remain in the soul in seed form, because we have like billions of them. So each of those seeds are the result of the impressions of experiences and, you know, events and things that we go through, choices we make, actions we take. So we carry that with us. And so during childhood, we are activating the seeds that we're going to work through, you know, which become our main issues through our life. And so we choose the environment that we know on a soul level, there's no ego there yet, but on the soul level, we know that that type of environment is going to activate to help those seeds blossom. And so that's how we choose our environment, we choose the main events in our life, we choose all of that so that we can really work through those things. Because otherwise, they keep us in the past. They're always pulling us toward the past, and not just as we get older, the past of our childhood, but the past that we carry so much energy from, which is, you know, many, many thousands of lifetimes. And so if we want to evolve, if we want to really embrace who we are and accomplish what we're here to do, and then evolve to reach back our divine source, we need to heal those wounds. They otherwise they're like the holes in a Swiss cheese, and we leak our energy through that. We leak our confidence. We leak our sense of self through those holes, and we need to nurture those aspects. It may not be the most comfortable thing to do, because of course we have to touch those wounds that are those things that are painful, but they're very, you know, we empower ourselves as we do that, and we need to really become whole, one in ourselves, to fulfill our purpose, our soul purpose here. It's essential, because we carry them from a long, long time ago. It's not just a quick psychological thing. It has like deeper roots into who we are as individual souls.
Yes, and what has helped me in doing those kinds of healings has been viewing the earth as a giant school, and that every experience I have is an opportunity to learn. And I've observed that when I take the opportunity, then the learning is immediate, and I'm done with it. But if I don't, the universe seems to keep bringing up the same issue. Like, okay, you set this up. You really need to learn this, so we're not leaving you alone until you get it. comments on that?
Yes. You are your soul, you know, but your soul has different layers of energy, and one of those layers is the ego that separates us. It's a virtual layer, actually. It doesn't exist unless we are attached to the physical senses. But that's the layer that gives us the sense of individuality and also of doership, of ownership. Like, this is my experience, right? And I'm separate from you. And so, but internally, you know, at the deeper layers of the soul, there is this driving force that is always leading you through what you need to experience. It's like your own roadmap. And there's also that creative power that comes from consciousness, from the feminine aspect of consciousness, that makes you project your own script into your life and, you know, create your own life movie. And so everything that you're going through, your experiences, you're experiencing, is a reflection of your self-perception, of that's your script, of who you are. And that includes, of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything that you are, everything that you come with, and that you're here to work through. So once we really embrace what I call a spiritual responsibility and assume that everything that we're going through has the purpose of helping us get to know ourselves better and deeper, and you know, really delving deeper until we reach our own divinity, then life becomes a journey of self-exploration, of self-discovery, and it's a much more pleasant and graceful, trip than when you feel like a victim and that just happens and you don't know why and you don't know what to do. It's a completely different experience.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, I know a young man who's been very successful on a financial level. He built and ran his own multi-million dollar business. But then he got to a point that even though he was, I believe he's a feminine soul here, even though he was offering help and a service in the world and he was making really good money, he lost interest in continuing. He folded the business, and now he's looking for something that has real meaning for him. But he is unable to go forward without more of a sense of purpose. And it was my impression in reading your book that happens perhaps for a lot of indigo and feminine souls.
Well, having a purpose is definitely one of the most important factors to feel like your life is meaningful, that you're here to to contribute something, because we all are. If you think of the soul as like a cell within the organism, you know, it has its own purpose, its own mission, its own information, and it works in conjunction with everything else, right? All the systems and all the other cell types. Then it makes more sense to understand that you are here also with a function, with a purpose that's very specific and unique, because you have a very unique journey as a soul. And so you work together, but you remain individual. You remain seeking that connection to your unique wire, your unique contribution to the world, no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to be rich and famous to make a contribution. It's really more on a vibrational level, on a self-awareness level, that the greatest contributions are. But when we are just following the external manifestations of purpose, the external sense of success, or you know, what the world is telling us that success, being successful is about, or achieving our goals, or, you know, contributing something important or meaningful is, there is a disconnection between that, all that masculine aspect, and the internal, more deeper aspects, which are feminine. That's what I was talking about earlier. It's like we need to integrate both. When there's a disconnection between, say, logic and intuition, we're not going to feel, whole. We're not going to feel connected. We're not going to feel centered, and we're not going to feel authentic. When there's a disconnection between science and love, we're not going to feel, you know, when there's a disconnection between our head and our heart, the same thing. The feminine and the masculine need to be aligned within each other and interacting in a harmonious way. We cannot live on intuition alone. We cannot live on logic alone. We cannot live on external recognition alone. We need to integrate all the pieces of our puzzle and align the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual layers of our soul to feel good about ourselves, one in ourselves, connected and centered, you know, with clarity of purpose and feeling like, okay, I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. This is who I am, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Thank you. We're up to our second break now, Yoel. I'm talking today with Yoel Swan, who is author of the Indigo Journals, about the challenges and promise of being an indigo or feminine soul at this juncture where we're having a major shift in the emphasis on masculine or feminine. And we'll talk a little bit more about souls changing their perception, helping others, and helping others without using themselves up when we come back here on Full Power Living.
Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
In case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Yoel Swan, who is spiritual mentor, author, and coach, regarding ideas from her very comprehensive book, The Indigo Journals. So, Yoel, your book is available at major bookstores and on Amazon. You also invite people. You have meditation recordings and so forth on your website, do you not?
Well, on the website, I have all the services that I offer, you know, my spiritual counseling, business coaching for spiritual entrepreneurs. I have an individual Indigo soul healing program. You know, it's one-on-one and energy healing. The book includes a few things online, like meditation and the past life regression, things like that, just to help. Those are like bonus links that you can go to when you purchase the book. You'll see the link there. But my main website is really about my services, what I offer, and people can connect with me through there, join my mailing list to receive weekly soul-guided inspiration, and, you know, check out my services if they want to live what I call a soul-guided life. That's why it's called soulguidedcoach.com. And the purpose of the book, The Indigo Journals, is precisely to help anyone who's willing to look within, you know, who's willing to harness that inner power and nurture a more feminine, soul-guided perception of life. You know, so it's centered around the wounded feminine and the indigo archetype, but it's basically for anyone willing to look at their feminine side and nurture those aspects as well to help bring in more balance into this chaotic and overly masculine world.
I agree that that's the focus. I read your books, 430 pages long. It was and every page interesting. You should see my underlining. There's less white in the book than there is a highlighter, because you're really speaking, and you cover a wide variety of questions and issues. And overall, it's not just indigos and feminine souls, but all of us are needing to turn within, because we're needing to either connect or reconnect with universal intelligence, our own divine nature, our own soul, whatever you want to call it. Is that not so?
Yes, we definitely need to. And you know, because we have reached the extreme of this masculine cosmic cycle, everybody's going to be feeling more and more in touch with those deeper feminine aspects that lead towards more awareness, less attachment to the physical senses, to sensory perception, which is what we have relied upon for years. But it's very deceiving, because there's a lot more to life than just what's tangible and invisible to the senses. So, yeah, it is time to turn around and contribute to this revolution of the spirit that we're going through, to feel more connected to ourselves, more connected to each other, to learn from each other, and really bring all our gifts and everything that we have to offer to serve and benefit the whole. So it's less individualized, less me, myself, and I, and more about the collective consciousness, the collective evolution of the planet. And, of course, it's also about the planet, which is a very feminine planet, very generous, very abundant, that we keep destroying. Now it's time to nurture that and allow, you know, the Earth to get back into balance as well. So there's a lot of work ahead of us, but there's also, you know, the infinite energy of consciousness helping us all as we move to that feminine cosmic cycle, we also move back to fifth dimension, and we are already, you know, in the age of Aquarius, you know, the beginning of the age of Aquarius, which is an age of collective work, collective consciousness as well. So everything is put into place to make it easy for all of us, but we still need to do the work and, you know, not be afraid to look within and heal our wounds to feel better, create the life that we want, and the world that we really yearn for.
There is a resistance to going inside, and I don't recall specifically, but my internal sense is that saying that resistance is fairly normal.
Well, it is part of what we've become because of the extreme polarization. You know, the masculine is external. It's outside. It's what we do out there, what we accomplish out there. And so everybody's pretty much focused on that. So it's a lot of energy against looking within. But we need to develop that discipline, you know, those spiritual practices. And I share a whole variety of tools in the book to help with that so that we reconnect to who we are. We really look within and we really, you know, carve the time and space for us to center ourselves in ourselves and forget about the external world that is always going to be pulling and drawing your energy, your attention outwards. So there is resistance because we, you know, we have been and we've been conditioned and we are very attached to that external, that tangible physical world, but we need to start exploring more consistently the subtle realities of who we are and of this planet. You know, this planet is not just third dimension. There's so much out there to really experience and explore so that we can have a different perspective, you know, have some distance and more clarity as to how we make choices and what choices we make to benefit ourselves and everyone else, you know, as a collective, as opposed to being so compartmentalized like the world wants us to remain. So it's a process of connection, connecting to who you are, all the different aspects, not just the mental, not just the external, not just the physical perception, but all these subtle realities that are so empowering and so rich and so filled with the, you know, wonderful, wonderful awareness and events, you know, internal events waiting for you to discover them.
That sounds wonderful. And I'm sitting here inside of myself imagining, what if I were a man, a masculine soul at this time? Would this feel threatening to me? Would I feel like I'm losing something? Would I not know exactly what my role or my focus needs to be? Do you have any comment on that?
Well, yeah, I explain in the book, you know, the soul spectrum that I discovered, the feminine masculine soul spectrum.
Right.
So it really depends on where you're at on that spectrum, because some masculine souls are going to be closer to the feminine, too, like some feminine souls are closer to the masculine, like indigos. But then there are extremely masculine souls who are feeling, and you can see them right now out there, they're feeling like they're losing control and they're doing absolutely everything they can to remain in control because they have been in control of this planet for 10,000 years. So they're not going to let go that easily. But those masculine souls, especially in male bodies, because that's like a triple dose of masculine, right, that have looked or have explored or are closer to the feminine, are going to still feel that pull. They're going to feel that calling. They're going to feel that there's more to life than what they have experienced, and they need to go explore that. It's only the extreme masculine souls that are not going to. And what's going to happen is that eventually they're just going to move into other planes, other places, where they will have a mission, you know, to bring that masculine energy there while we turn this cycle around and towards the feminine. depends on where you're at, and that's one of the purposes of my soul spectrum in the book, is to find your place so that you can really understand who you are, what motivates you, what are the deeper impulses that lead you towards certain things and away from others, and then try to balance things, learn things, and develop whatever you need to develop to feel more centered and empowered, especially now that we're going through this internal tug of war, internal and external tug of war.
Oh, that's really... So, gee whiz, the time has really flown. I was absolutely amazed at the depth and the many different aspects that you consider in your book, The Indigo Journals. I certainly, it's almost like a, I read it very quickly for purposes of interviewing you, and it was not my favorite way to read it. It's a book that needs to be mulled over, because there are a lot of things that you're bringing up that are important for us as souls, regardless of our masculine, feminine orientation or way of addressing things. And I really think a lot of people can benefit by reading your words. So I want to thank you for writing the book. And it remind you, our listener, that you can find more about Yoel Swan at soulguidedcoach.com or yoelswan.com, YOLSWAN.com. Do you have any final words, things you want people to take away with them, Yoel?
I wanted to, well, first mention that the book itself has its own website as well. It's theindigojournals.com, and they can go check it out. There's a table of contents and other things like the book trailer and things like that that they may want to explore. Then a link to to Amazon to purchase the book if they're interested. And yeah, the purpose of the book is to help indigos and feminine souls heal their spiritual wounds and feel more find their place and purpose in the world. But it is also a deep exploration of the soul, and it provides a spiritual healing process, a step-by-step system for anyone that will benefit anyone who's going through stuff and doesn't know what's going on, also to understand themselves and others. Because when we're thinking of soul types, you start recognizing, oh, yeah, that's why I cannot see eye to eye with this person ever, because they're at the other side of the spectrum, and, you know, there's simply no way, no common language here. So instead of getting frustrated and angry, you can recognize and see where you're at and accept and focus on what promotes more of what you're here to contribute and promote, instead of focusing on what others want you to focus on, which is really to fuel that fear, that anger, that guilt, all those things that have become emotional currencies in the world that really block your true divine nature. Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure chatting with you today.
Thanks for being my guest on Full Power Living. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time or noon Eastern Time for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And remember, next Thursday, Ronell Wood, who is author of Touching Light, will be talking with us about the connective tissue fascia that surrounds and supports everything and functions like fiber optics in our bodies. So tell your friends and family, and we'll see you here next Thursday. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media is our producer. Thank you for being on the job, Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.